The coach, Bill Belichick. Hey, Coach, how you doing today?
Doing all right, Glenn.
Hey, Coach.
Steve, Fred, how you guys doing?
Coach. Good, how are you?
Good, man. Short night.
A win is a win, right? You look at it that way.
Win's a win, yep.
They can be pretty. They can be ugly. They look the same in the standings at the end.
Well, it's good to be 12-2. But we got a lot of work to do, and we know that. So, but it's good to be 12-2.
I heard you after the game, and you were talking about we've got to coach better, we've got to prepare better, or whatever. How much of what you were talking about was the approach that players might have? I mean, they're human beings. Everybody is writing. Everybody's saying great things about this team. You've got some young players. Do you think maybe they get caught up in some of that a little bit?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to tell what's, you know, in 53 players' minds and all that. All I know is we just need to do a better job. And, you know, it starts with me. I got to do a better job coaching the team, preparing the team. And we just got to play better than we played last night. I know we're capable of that. And it was good enough to win. And that's great. And we're happy to be 12-2. But I know we can do better than that. And so I'm going to do my best to try to get it better.
Was there any issues during the week preparing, whether it was for Rodgers or for Flynn in that situation, and did you have a good week of practice?
Well, I think that we were confident that Flynn would run the offense pretty much the way Rodgers ran it, and I would say for the most part that was true. They did a couple things that were a little different, but there's really no way to prepare for those. Those were individual game plan things. You know, our practice week was probably a little up and down, probably about like the way we played. So, you know, I think we can just, you know, we just need to do a better job than we did yesterday, and that includes the whole week of preparation, not just game day, but everything that went into it. So we'll work harder on that. Not that we haven't worked hard on it, but we just got to do a better job.
Coach, when you prepare for a guy that you don't have much film on, do you go back to college? And how do you get any type of clue of what this guy does and what his reads are? He doesn't have much pro film, so do you go back to college and look at him?
Well, he had a lot of preseason film.
Preseason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he played a lot in the preseason. And, of course, he played, you know, most of the game last week against Detroit, so we probably had, you know, about four or five games on him. We had plenty of film on him, and we watched that. We actually watched it Sunday morning in the hotel. So I don't think that was really an issue. I think just it's more about our execution and things that we feel like we have done all year, have done in practice, and then things came up in the game that should have been done one way and for whatever reason weren't, and we need to correct those things.
There was the one formation they had with the two receivers in the backfield. Did that cause any problems the way they were running that action?
No, they usually do that. That's kind of their protection look. That's where they get their seven-man protections from. They ran the ball out of it a little bit more last night than what they had in the past, although they had run before. It wasn't like we hadn't seen those plays before. There's just a little more frequency of them running out of the shotgun last night. But we recognized that fairly early and, you know, talked about that and made that adjustment, you know, around the end of the first quarter. So it wasn't like that was you know, anything we hadn't seen before. Again, it was just more of us being in the right place, having the right fits in the running game, and keeping leverage on the ball and the quarterback, and, you know, covering a little better and so forth.
Well, the good news is you found a new kickoff returner, a guy that obviously presents a
Curly Howard
huge weapon for you. No question about that.
That was we'll see how many they want to squib to him now. But Dan turned about a 10-yard return into a 70-yarder. You know, heck of an effort by him, and then we had some great extra effort blocks, first by Sergio knocking Pepperall off him there around midfield, and then Rob and Dane and those guys were really hustling downfield and actually, you know, helped get him some of the extra yards, you know, and Dan ran hard and stayed in bounds and you know, broke a couple tackles, and so it was a big play in the game, obviously, to, you know, get us back to 17-14 before the half from a 17-7 deficit.
He looked like he had the ball in a headlock instead of, right? He had it around the middle, did he?
He's carrying it like a newborn.
You're going to critique him? He would have killed the newborn.
Yeah.
It was like he was running, please, Bill, don't get mad at me.
Well, yeah, but halfway through it, he slipped it in the left arm like Gale Sayers. Not, you know.
Nothing more important than taking care of the ball, Fred. How's you know
it,
that.
How's an old lineman learn the stiff arm like that?
Playing tag in the backyard with your big brother. That's about it. When you had the game plan in mind defensively, were you anticipating that balance in attack from Green Bay, the running and the – I mean, they were pretty close to 50-50 at one point.
I'd say percentage-wise, they ran more last night than they had, although it was kind of the same plays. And I think the thing, whether it's with Green Bay or even a little bit with Chicago last week, that, you know, teams are having a little bit of success with it, they'll keep doing it. And if not, then you'll see less of it. So – as they, you know, they were hitting us with some 4 or 5 yarders, and when you're getting that kind of production running the ball, you can expect to see more of them. So we talked about that. We expected that to continue, and you know, then we made a couple plays with Chum made a big play on the toss out there, and so we had a couple negative plays, and it seemed to slow down a little bit after that. So maybe we should have got that a little bit sooner.
Do you think part of it was they looked at the depleted line and they looked at Spikes not in there and figured that was a weak spot they could attack?
I'm not sure, you know, exactly how they game planned it, Fred, but, you know, I'm sure part of it was just to kind of balance the game and not have the quarterback throw 50, 55 times in the game, that kind of thing. But as I said, if we had played some of those runs a little bit better, a little more consistently up front, my guess is we would have seen fewer of them.
You've had a chance to look at all of the film today. It looked, in watching the game last night, that Vollmer did a hell of a job on Clay Matthews. Did you have to put any help over there at all during the course of the game, Bill?
Well, you know, there's certain plays where you have other blockers because you don't know who's going to blitz and all that. But I thought Sebastian did an excellent job on Clay. And, he did a good job blocking him on the outside rushes, and he did a good job blocking him on his spins and up and unders and counter moves and that kind of thing. So it was really an outstanding job by Sebastian. That was a game ball type performance.
One of the inside blitz, they got Raji free a couple of times. They're running like an inside cross. What was the problem there? They're not sliding the right area. Is the back supposed to step up? I know Woodhead once had 400 pounds running at him, and that was a mismatch on that.
Right, yeah. Obviously, we missed that one, and we also missed the Mike Cross, the two linebackers crossing up the middle when Bishop strip sacked us there earlier in the game. So, those weren't very well executed by us. It was really a team thing. The identification of the front and who had who, and it wasn't so much actual blocking of them. It was just we didn't identify it correctly and ended up with mismatch. So those are the kind of mistakes that I'm talking about, things that we've blocked all year, blocked them against Pittsburgh, blocked them against the Jets. We've blocked them against Cincinnati multiple times, and we just didn't get it done last night. So in a few instances. So that's where we got to do a better job preparing, practicing, and obviously executing in the game.
So not much of that stuff was unfamiliar to you?
No, we just didn't do it very well, and we got to do it better.
Was that cover two on their long touchdown pass? The was it 66 yards? McCourty and Merriweather collided.
It was actually cover five.
Cover five,
it was man. Yeah.
Okay.
So you took a wrong angle on it, Merriweather.
Well, again, that's not the design of the defense, but
that's for sure.
There was several things that could have been better on it, and like I said, starting with the coaching, we've got to coach better and we got to play better, and we just got to do a lot of things better.
It's amazing watching Vince Wilfork, and I don't know if he played. Seemed like he was out there more than normal last night, and you're moving him around and whatever, but he still has that movement, that quickness in the fourth quarter for such a big man like that. It is pretty amazing what he's able to do.
Well, Vince is a very explosive player, and he can certainly change the line of scrimmage, and plays with excellent technique, uses his hands, and is a strong tackler, a good pass rusher, and so. He was. He played a lot of plays last night. I thought he played very well. I thought it was really an outstanding performance. And there were a lot of times where they were paying a lot of attention to him, sliding the line to him in pass protection, and trying to run away from him at times in the running game when they could find out where he was. We had him moving around a lot, so it wasn't easy for them to identify what spot he was going to be in. But he had a very good game.
And they, it is amazing to see a guy that can two gap a yard and a half off the ball, then come up and hit a one gap or a one or a three technique and fire up field and still control the guy. I mean, his ability to pass rush, playing an open space out by the tackle, then coming inside and doing the same thing, it's rarity. And they did have to hold on to him. He collapsed the pocket up the middle and made him go laterally up and down. But his performance, obviously, helps the linebacker so much because he takes up two guys and you got to pay attention. If he's a nose guy, you got to put two guys on him and freeze those linebackers up.
Absolutely. No, nobody appreciates Vince more than those inside linebackers, Fred. That's for sure. We all appreciate him, but when you're playing behind him as an inside linebacker, you really appreciate him.
But even yesterday when he's out there all that time and the defense was out there for long periods of time and you had a couple times it was three and out with the offense, he's got to get back out on the field. That's amazing. A guy that's that big this late in the season, and man, he is just looking fresh in the fourth quarter. It's hard to believe.
But yeah, I mean, he did a good job and played well, and you're right, he played a lot of snaps. I think it was 70, 70-some snaps. So, you know, he was out there a lot, and he played well, played hard the whole game.
And in coverage at one time.
He actually did. He, yeah, you know, recognized the screen and also kind of was coming around on the game, and he saw the back 30 Coon coming out on a little angle route, and he kind of peeled off on him. And so, you know, Vince is a smart player. He's very alert and instinctive and aware. He kind of has a good feel for what's going on. And so when he makes decisions like that, they're usually the right ones. He's usually identified something and recognized it, and then kind of falls into it.
I was going to ask that question. That wasn't a zone drop with him dropping off. He just
he was on a
TE, right?
Yeah,
E-T.
Right.
It was coming around.
Yeah, he read it and saw it, and then saw the back. And you know, all good defensive linemen are aware of those backs on screens and throwback screens, those type of plays. So they have a good awareness of when that back's sitting in there. It's not, you know, it's not the block. He's sitting in there to wait for the screen to develop and then get out. If those guys are in the pattern, they don't sit there. They release. So, but you know, Vince did. He saw that a couple times, and you know, again, that's the kind of thing that kind of throw the quarterback off, because as a quarterback, you're not expecting somebody to, you know, a defensive lineman to be on that guy. So
they thought it was an eclipse. It was just Vince chasing him.
Devin McCourty seemed to be all over the place. Made a nice play on the goal line stand there, and had some pretty good coverage. How did he play overall?
He did. He played very well, Steve. Very well. I mean, that was a big sack for us. That contributed to a three and out. You're right. Played well on the goal line. Tackled for the most part pretty well. Had a couple of deep balls that were thrown his way that you know, that he defended well. So he did once again. You know, did a good job for us. But
what
the
about
tackle
the...
for the loss? The sack.
Yeah.
You know, those are big plays. And
what about the Telly Bantakane? It looked like the offensive lineman had jammed him in the face, and Telly jammed him in the face on that interception that was called back.
Right.
Wouldn't that be offsetting normally? He jammed him in the face, or is just this as an offensive?
Well, again, it doesn't really matter what you think or what I think. It's the
That's
guy who's
call
calling
me.
It out there. So, yeah. So, but. And you know how that goes, too. Sometimes they see the first strike. Sometimes they just see the second one, and the first one, you know, the guy gets away with it or whatever. So I don't know exactly what Ed saw on the play, but he called it the way he called it. And we know we can't, you know, hit the guys in the face or push their face mask up, or if your hand gets in there, you got to get it out. So we've got to, you know, again, those are things we need to do a better job of. You know, we just can't put ourselves in that position. You know, if we do that, then sooner or later they're going to call it, whether it really deserves it to be called or not. You just can't put yourself in that position.
I know you anticipate every single situation out there, but did you ever anticipate when they elected to kick off that you'd be seeing an onside kick on the first kickoff?
Well, we talked about it, sure. You know, we talked about it. I mean, this is a team that, you know, that does a lot of not just the traditional deep kickoffs. They did like the mortar kicks, the two that went to Crumpler. They squibbed it to Connolly, and then they onsided it. So it wasn't unusual for them to have done that. Now, you know, they play in a tough division, too. They're kicking off to Hester. They're kicking off to Percy Harvin. You know, they're kicking off to some pretty good guys. So, you know, part of that might be a factor, too. But we'd seen him do those things before, and you know, it was a good kick. I mean, he kicked it right, you know, right down the line, kicked it hard, and the ball got outside. You know, they made a good play on it. I mean, obviously, we've got to defend it better, but it was well executed on their part. But, you know, no, not a total surprise, but, again, we've obviously got to be prepared for that. We got to be prepared for it again this week with Buffalo. Buffalo's done it 2 years in a row. So, you know, we know that against us. So, you know, we know it's somewhere that, you know, they probably are thinking about now just because it's worked.
We've noticed that you've used a lot of different players, especially on defense. And again, you talked about him before, but Fletcher stepped up and made a couple of nice plays in the game, too. Was he part of your nickel package? Was he part of the regular defense when he was making those plays?
Basically nickel, Steve, yeah. He has. You know, Dane's a kid that's really come on over the course of the year, both in the kicking game and defensively. And, you know, it just seems like each week he gets a little bit better with, mm-hmm. you know, more experience and being able to do things not only in games but in practices and just has a little better understanding. And, you know, for a guy who played down his whole career in college to, you know, be able to play on his feet and play in coverage and do all those things, it's, you know, kind of reminiscent of, you know, Bruschi's conversion from mm-hmm. from being a down player to an inside linebacker. But, yeah, Dane did a nice job on special teams, and he had a couple big plays for us on defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was able to chase down the quarterback on a couple of the rollout scramble plays, and of course the sack at the end of the game was put him in long yardage, and that was a huge play in the game.
Yep. All right, 12-2, game 15 coming up this week. We'll break down the Buffalo Bills next with the coach. All right, back down here live at Gillette Stadium. I'm Glenn Ordway, Freddie Smirlis, Steve DiAsi. It's the No Nonsense Conversation with the Coach, SBLI, presenting the No Nonsense Conversation with the Coach. Talk about no nonsense. Here are the Buffalo Bills. They have won four of the last six. This is a team that has lost three overtime games, all to playoff opponents. Guys, I think teams that we all believe are going to be in the playoffs, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh. This is not, despite what their record says, this is not a an easy team.
Well, we found that out in September. Mm-hmm. They're a good football team. They're good in the kicking game. You know, Spiller's given them big plays in the return game. Gave another one yesterday against Miami. Helped them win that on a 35-yard punt return or whatever it is. You know, two good kickers, Lindell and Mormon. You know, they're fast. They're aggressive on defense, and they have good team speed. They get to a lot of plays, and run them down, strip sacks, turnovers, those kind of things. And then offensively, they have very good skill players. You know, Fitzpatrick's playing well. They get, you know, good receivers, Spiller, Jackson. And they're tough.
Well, they put up, what, 500 yards or so versus Baltimore?
Yeah.
I mean,
they move the ball against everybody. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter who they play. They've moved the ball against everybody. So I think, you know, we know they're a good offensive football team, and they're capable of moving the ball and scoring points. And they're strong in the kicking game, strong on defense. And you're right, they've been in a lot of close games, and they've beaten some good teams, and they've been in overtime against three other ones. I mean, this team easily could be, you know, 9-5 or yeah, whatever.
Yeah. How much have they changed since the last time you played and watched your film? The tendency stay the same, and I mean,
of course Lynch isn't there anymore. They've gotten Spiller more involved, but you know, they have a number of skilled players that just seems like it's just an endless supply of them that step up. They lose Evans, but they get plays out of Parrish and Johnson and Nelson, the rookie from Florida. So, you know, they just keep putting guys in there, and whoever the next guy is, he starts making plays. So they have good depth of the skill positions, quarterbacks playing well. And I think their offensive line's definitely improving. They're playing more together. Now they lost Handgardner for a couple of days and moved Wood back into center. But, you know, overall their offensive line's been much more consistent than it was last year, because last year they had so many injuries. They seem like they were shuffling the deck every week, but you know, this year it's been more consistent than that, so I'm sure that's helped them.
Yeah, that was one of the big problems last year. You get the quarterback all the time, he didn't have time to throw. And Fitzgerald has a pretty good release, has been active, and he can move in the pocket. He runs pretty well for a quarterback also.
He does, but I think the big thing with him is he recognizes coverage, as he gets the ball out in a hurry, and they have a lot of plays that are designed to, you know, to get the ball out quickly to Spiller and Parrish and guys like that. So if you're not right on them and they get the ball, they can, you know, break a tackle and make a good gain out of it. So you've got to be tight on those guys, or their ability to run if they catch can definitely hurt you.
Well, look at Smiley with the Hobbit.
Time right now for the coach's question of the week. It's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Now compare new and used cars side by side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. It's you, Steve.
All right.
Stop drooling.
In some of his other opportunities to play around the league, Fitzpatrick was prone to the interception, and not that there's ever a good time. Has he cut down on those? And if so, what's he doing to cut down on the bad plays that he used to make?
Well, I'd say probably, Steve, just not forcing the ball as much. You know, taking the profit, taking the sure play instead of trying to, you know, get a bigger play and take a chance. And he's done a good job of using his backs. Now, he has very good backs there with Jackson and Spiller. Those are good guys to dump the ball off to and let him go. And also, I think that Chan Gailey and his offense has done a good job of, you know, running crossing patterns and underneath receivers that are open fairly quickly, so the quarterback doesn't have to hold the ball and stand back there and wait for a guy to get open on a, you know, 17-yard out cut or, mm-hmm. you know, a 30-yard post or those kind of patterns. Not that they don't throw those, but they have a lot of passes that are where the ball comes out pretty quickly, and Fitzpatrick's done a good job of that. And if they're covered, then, you know, he can take off and run.
Is that part coaching or just experience?
Well, probably both. You know, probably A, the system, and then B, experience with Fitzpatrick in terms of, you know, not forcing the ball, taking the positive play, and, you know, giving it to guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands. You know, you give the ball to Spiller on a 5-yard pass, and, you know, he could make as much as Lee Evans could make on a 17-yard comeback if you can, you know, get him the ball in some space. So, you know, I think that it's a combination of those things.
Bill, I know you've played in all sorts of weather, and who knows, maybe you'll get another ice storm up there in Buffalo this week.
Well, we got to be ready for anything.
Yeah, that's always. How about this game tonight in Minnesota, playing it outdoors? They're getting 5 or 6 inches of snow before the game. It's a new field turf. The only problem is it doesn't have the heating element underneath it. And some of the players have already said it's going to be like hitting cement.
Those poor players, huh, Bill?
Yeah.
They're on hot turf.
Well, I think any time you play in those kind of conditions that, you know, the team with the best footing has a huge advantage, you know, regardless of all the other things that go into it. just being able to stay on your feet and cut and have better traction and footing than the other team is the number one thing. So, you know, whatever the conditions are tonight, I think that the equipment people, the shoe guys, and the players making the right decisions on the footwear that they have on, that'll play a huge factor in the game. And, you know, I noticed a lot of the Bear players commenting after our game that, you know, they switched shoes at halftime, had trouble getting traction, footing, and all that. You know, it's just you can't overstate how important that is. If you can't move on a field, then, you know, I don't care what kind of talent you have, it just neutralizes it.
Also, the players you have, like some guys are striders and some guys are quick-footed guys that get their feet moving, they can get better traction than some of the big striders.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that experience helps on that. You know, if you've been in it a few times, you start to get a feel for what you can and can't do and, you know, what cut you're comfortable making and what cut you just can't make. And so I think that's, you know, an advantage of playing in those conditions, whether it be wind or snow and those kind of things, that the more you do it, probably the more comfortable, you know, you more confident you are playing in them.
So Donnie and Balloon, the equipment guys, help you out a lot with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Good knowledge. Donnie's been here for 40 years.
Donnie has done a great job for us. I mean, he always is you know, two or three steps ahead of it in terms of knowing, like, in the Bear situation with the field being resodded and the different conditions. And you're right, he has a ton of experience and, you know, in dealing with those kind of conditions and different footwear and so forth. And you know, which shoes to wear in rain, which shoes to wear in snow, which shoes to wear on, you know, a firm grass surface, a soft grass surface, and so forth. So he's, you know, he's a huge help for a good resource for all of us, for the coaches, but particularly the players, as far as what to wear.
Wasn't that the Giants' biggest problem when they were talking about them playing outdoors? They had already traveled and sent all the equipment out there, and it was for playing in the dome, and then suddenly you got to play outside. You got to change everything.
Oh, like they couldn't ship stuff in, but that's... Yeah.
They can't buy those suits to get warm out there, right? Where they only sell them in New York?
Playing in the dome's a lot nicer.
Yeah.
How would you know? You already play outside, didn't you?
Nope.
You're an outside beast.
Because these guys were talking earlier about playing in the, you know, the old AstroTurf, which they just slapped a piece of indoor-outdoor carpet on top of concrete.
Remember the garbage that used to be here?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, and the Eagles, I mean, it was like that for years, and that was, you know, very... Really, and even in Giants Stadium, as you remember, Steve, we practiced in the stadium every day.
All the time.
I mean, all the time. And just from standing out in practice, you know, it was like standing on cement for, you know, 2.5 hours or however long practice was. And, you know, you really could feel it just from standing there. And I can imagine as players, you know, going in there and playing on all the time, that it'd certainly take a little wear off you.
Cut my career short.
No, I don't think that hit.
I think McDonald's did that.
That's a good point, too.
All right, Coach, congratulations on the win.
Thanks.
Good luck in Buffalo,
thanks,
and Merry Christmas.
All right, thanks. Same to all our listeners. Have a good holiday. We'll see you next Monday.
You got
thanks,
it.
Coach.